Said yes to the right guy. Never had trouble getting what I want. But when it comes to you, I'm never good enough. When I don't care, I can play them like a Ken doll. Won't wash my hair, then make them bounce like a basketball. Like you, make me wanna act like a girl. Paint my nails and wear high heels. Yes, you make me so nervous that I just can't hold your head. You make me glow. Break a sweat for the other guys. When you come around, I get paralyzed. And every time I try to be myself, it comes out wrong like a cry for help. It's just not fair. Pain's more trouble than love is worth. I guess for air, it feels so good, but you know it hurts.
The hits. Demi mourning the loss of another pet, her second dog to die this past year. The dog Spawn died on Sunday. Coming up next, we've got Carly Rae Jepsen, who has re-recorded a TV show theme for Full House, a popular TV show in the 80s and 90s. The show is coming back on Netflix, and Carly Rae Jepsen has given a facelift to the theme song and re-recorded the new version. Here's Carly Rae Jepsen on VOA 1.
I want to smash your fears and get drunk in off your tears. Don't you share your smile with anyone else but me. I want to touch your heart. I want to crush it in my hands. Make you plead and cry as you give up all the lies. When I love her,
But I do it for the ladies. But I gotta keep it hood. Where we at, Polo?
Hey!
I see you, Ron. Yo, Keith, you was right. But we just getting started. Yeah, man.
You say you're searching for somebody that'll take you out and do you right.
Reporting, an entertainment icon is charged with sexual assault.
We are here to announce today charges that have just been filed against William Henry Cosby.
Prosecutors in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania have brought criminal charges against comedian Bill Cosby over the alleged sexual assault of a woman in 2000.
On the basis that in 1980, Ewan Paul Muwanga had actually stolen an election for the Uganda People's Congress that eventually ushered in Dr. Apollo Milton Obote to have another term as president of Uganda. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week. Fred Turam Yomwe from Kunungu in Uganda writes, "The presidential election in neighboring Tanzania had a very big impact on Ugandan voters as we head to the polls in 2016. Magufuli's fundamental changes took many Ugandans back to the early days of President Yoweri Museveni. Following the Pope's visit to Uganda in 2015, we expect a peaceful election in 2016. I'd like to wish Happy New Year to Shaka and his TV team. Also, a Happy New Year to all Ugandans."
like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Trade Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collects and we'll pay for the call. Or call directs and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Thanks, Shaka. 2015 was definitely a busy year in Africa. Major strides were made democratically in some countries. High-profile visits by U.S. President Barack Obama and Pope Francis. But there were major setbacks as well, with the unrest in the Central African Republic and Burundi. Also, the death of hundreds of African migrants crossing the Mediterranean Sea in search of a better life in Europe. Lastly, millions of people will remember Cecil, the beloved lion, and the Ebola crisis quietly came to an end. Well, all of this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what 2015 event or story had the most impact on your life? Before we begin, I'd like to thank you for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. A reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA2015Africa. And if you haven't yet, please follow us on Twitter. Let's go to a tweet right now from Alphonse Priera in London, who says that for him, it's the declaration of Gambia as an Islamic state by President Yahya Jammeh without any mandate. We have another tweet, this time from Komoro Mwenda in Tanzania, who tweets the 2015 story of the year in Africa was the selection of John Magufuli as presidential candidate for CCM. He eventually won the election and became the popular leader that we needed, is what he writes. Well, let's now turn to our Facebook followers and go to a comment from Mohamed Ahmed Mansour in Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, the 2015 events that had the most impact on my life occurred when Saudi Arabia's SPA state-run news agency reported that at least 769 people had been killed in a stampede, with 900 others injured. Also, after 2 weeks of intense international diplomacy, a historic agreement targeting climate change was made in Paris. Merry Christmas to the entire crew of Straight Talk Africa. May the new year be filled with joy, happiness, and prosperity. Well, thank you, Mohammed, for all the well wishes and straight back at you. And many thanks for being such a loyal follower of our programs. Shaka and guests, your take on these comments.
Interesting. Emira, your reaction?
Yes, I think both of these, all the social media platforms reveal that people are paying attention on the continent to issues of democracy, to issues of the migrants, both the migrants risking their lives to go to Europe to find a better life for their families, as well as those who were in Saudi Arabia and lost their lives. So I think people on the continent are paying attention. These issues are touching their hearts. And, you know, the hope is still there on the continent. I think that's what I think all of the comments remind us, that regardless of how people are experiencing all the challenges, there is still tremendous hope for this new year, for electoral processes still to come, for an economy that works for all, for climate change. I wanted to actually applaud that last comment made, I think it was on Twitter, about the climate change conference, because I do think that was a shining example of African governments actually providing the leadership that the world needed. Understanding that the planet is in peril, it was African leaders that were at the forefront, forcing the international community to actually commit to this 1.5 degree Celsius, no more than a 1.5 degree Celsius increase in terms of global warming and climate change, when the world was focused on 3 degrees, right? So it was African leadership that forced the issue that actually led to an agreement in Paris. And so I just wanted to pull that out of all the other comments made in the social media reactions, because I do think that that was an extraordinary example of African leadership for the world on an issue that is critical for the survival of the planet.
Talking about climate change, Emira, I know that you have lived in this town for many, many years. When did you last have a winter type of weather on Christmas in Washington, D.C.?
I don't think ever. It feels much more like Monrovia today and in these days before the Christmas than it normally does here in Washington, D.C. So clearly, it is not only the floods and the rising sea levels, whether it's Monrovia or Dakar or Accra, all of our capital cities are on these coasts that are in peril. And so it's not only there that we have the immediate reminders of climate change and global warming, but it's even here in Washington, D.C., when the temperature is balmy and you don't even need a jacket, really, in spite of the calendar date so close to the Christmas holiday.
It is, in fact, supposed to be in the high 70s Fahrenheit tomorrow, right here in the nation's capital. Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Well, a quick comment on this temperature. I think my daughter was hoping for a white Christmas, but I think we're going to be in Washington. We're going to be having a Dakar kind of weather. Maybe we don't feel so bad for not going to Senegal for the Christmas holidays. But let's move on to a posting this time from Justin Moremi in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who writes, "This year was highlighted with the strongest of events, both exciting and painful, including the rise of ISIS in the Middle East, Tanzania's election, and the migration crisis that has seen a lot of people die while attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea from North Africa. One man lost his entire family, his wife, and 7 children. I praise the Lord for all of you. May peace, harmony, and the love of God be with you at Christmas and through the New Year's celebration." Thank you, Justin, for your wonderful wishes. I actually have goosebumps just reading that, and I'm sending some right back at you and your family. Thanks for tuning in. Let's now go to another Facebook comment from Bernard Moisigwa, jester in Nairobi, Kenya, who writes, "The Garissa University attacks in Kenya and the adaptation of the Sustainable Development Goals are the top stories that had the most impact on my life in 2015. Shaka and guest, your take.
Thank you very much. Well, Madam Ambassador, your reaction.
Let me first agree with my sister that there is hope. There is hope in Africa. There is hope because we have seen throughout history that the human resilience is strong, and so we will overcome. I think one of the things that I like is that that the people or the Africans, wherever they are still interested in their homeland, because you have had people calling in from different parts of the world, and that they are interested in good governance. That these are not issues for developed countries. These are concerns of Africans.
They are universal.
They are universal. Mm. And so, of course, there was a comment about the rise of ISIS, which is extremely worrisome. But I think also one has to understand that sustainable development is key to dealing with challenges of security and of peace and security. And I also think that leaders who sustain themselves in power, they become a risk to peace and security. Sustainable peace cannot be guarded by strong men or guarded by guns. It is guarded by strong institutions, by good governance, by development. So I think that the comments demonstrate that we are all united in ensuring that human beings, you know, the issues that concern all of us are universal, and that we can overcome as well.
Very interesting. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thanks, Shaka. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. And a big thank you for being with us yet another year. We appreciate your loyalty and wish you the most joyful and wonderful holiday season. And if you are a new fan and just want to join the Straight Talk Africa family and friends, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on your website, or simply watch us on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Pope Francis recently took his message of religious tolerance to Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. We'll discuss interfaith solutions to combat religious intolerance and extremism. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Once again, let's take a look at Africa 2015 year in review. On July 23rd, Burundi's Electoral Commission announces that incumbent Pierre Nkurunziza has won the presidential election with 69% of the vote. On July 30th, U.S. President Barack Obama made his first trip to his father's homeland, Kenya, as president to participate in the Global Entrepreneur Summit. He also addressed the African Union in Ethiopia. On October 25th, John Magufuli is elected the fifth president of Tanzania, defeating former Foreign Minister Edward Lowassa with 58% of the vote. On October 28th, Ivory Coast President Alassane Ouattara wins a second term with 84% of the national vote. On November 7th, Sierra Leone was declared Ebola-free after a year and a half and more than 14,000 cases. On November 24th, Pope Francis makes his first trip to Africa, visiting Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. During his visit, he addresses issues of poverty, climate change, conflict resolution, and unity among Muslims and Christians. On November 28th, Rochemarc Christian Kabore becomes Burkina Faso's first democratically elected leader in nearly 30 years.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back. Today we are reflecting on some of the top stories that dominated the headlines in Africa this year. And look ahead to what's in store for 2016. Our distinguished guests are Ambassador Edith Sempara, former Ugandan envoy to the United States and the African Union, and Emile Woods, Associate Fellow of the Institute for Policy Studies based here in Washington, D.C. Well, I have to say once again, ladies, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having us. You're most welcome.
We're
honored as well.
You're most welcome. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. I gather that we do have Eamon. Eamon Kanywanisa. Good evening, Eamon Kanywanisa from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Thank you so much. What is your question, Eamon?
My question is that indeed the situation in Africa, especially in Uganda, when the people are not brother. Hello, sir.
Hello.
I'm listening, sir.
No.
Could
you please ask the question?
The question that, frankly, we need to see the situation and be frank. We need to talk about where we are having elections in Uganda, especially President, who is not frankly going to give the power as long as he is being won. So what you need to frankly say that you need to frankly talk about to.
I'm afraid I think we do have some static telephonic problems, but I think I probably get the gist of it. It looks like he's probably actually saying that when it comes to elections in Uganda, it looks like he's pretty much echoing what you said about perhaps the absence of a level political playing field, where you have the opposition running against a ruling party, but of course in the country perhaps where the ruling party and the state are fused, and therefore you're probably running against the government, as a matter of fact.
Yes. I think that is the challenge that Uganda has, that you cannot tell the party from the state organs. Mm-hmm. So you have an electoral commission, which clearly is not free because all these violations are taking place. And they just mention them, but they really do nothing about them. You have a police force that clearly the other day, actually, the IGP told us something that we already knew, namely that he works on instructions. So,
really?
It was in the newspaper.
General Kari Kaihura, a man who studied law,
yes,
both at Makerere and the London School of Economics.
Yes, but unfortunately, I think what he has been saying is that really he's under command to do what he needs to do. So we have also seen the law being misinterpreted. You have seen clearly the all state organs, the RDCs, the intelligence organizations, all doing things which they should not be doing. When I was ambassador of Uganda here, I considered myself ambassador of Uganda, not ambassador of NRM, although I subscribe to NRM.
Mm-hmm.
And I demonstrated it. I welcomed all Ugandans. I did not discriminate. If a Ugandan came and they needed help, they would get it from me. I wouldn't ask which party you belong to in order to render assistance. You may remember, you know, when the former mayor had problems in New York, I went there and tried to do some consular you know, our responsibilities.
So,
yes. So what I'm saying is that we do not have professional organizations that can, they are either intimidated and they cannot stand and say, according to our code of conduct, according to the rules, we are not going to be able to do this. So that is really where the problem lies, that, you know, the president himself has openly said, the army belongs to him, the police belongs to him, the oil belongs to him, the money belongs to him. So if people don't vote wisely, then they are not entitled to anything. So, I mean, you have a situation where there is no sense of accountability and there is impunity going on. And to us, really, this is most unfortunate because it's not just the peace and security of Uganda that is at stake. It is the peace and security over a region that is already extremely fragile. You have problems in Burundi. So, you know, peace and stability is key to all of us because especially given the era of terrorism, when you have situations in Uganda like that, they really breed, what something that none of us could be able to handle.
Edith, let me ask you a very perhaps unpleasant question. Mm-hmm. Which is that someone might in fact look at you and say, wait a minute, Ambassador Simpala, what did you know about the lack of political playing field in Uganda, and when did you in fact know it?
Concerning the political playing field, the first time I really realized that Uganda was on the wrong path was when Dr. Chizabesige Zikao was smashed. And at that time, I had already left the government. I was at the World Bank. And I saw with my own eyes.
That's 2011, correct?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That is 2011. Otherwise, I mean, because I was never there, I've never voted. Probably this is going to be my first time to vote because Ugandans are not allowed to vote outside of Uganda. So that is when I realized that something inherently wrong was taking place.
Very interesting. Now, Emira, in 2009, I was with U.S. President Barack Obama in the Ghanaian capital of Accra. And I remember he addressed Africa at the time and said that Africa does not need strong men. Rather, what it needs are strong institutions, just like it is said a little bit earlier. Sometime during the summer this year, he also went to the de facto capital of Africa, Addis Ababa, and said pretty much the same thing. In fact, he was wondering about people he characterized as life presidents. Why does he talk the talk without, in fact, walking the talk so that Africans can walk the walk?
Hey, Shaka, you always ask the best questions, huh? That's
really?
Absolutely to the heart of the matter. I think the issue is the U.S. defines its quote-unquote national interests so narrowly, and it is often based on its very narrow corporate interests, its economic interests in Africa and elsewhere around the world. So we hear these lofty statements coming out of President Obama, but then we realize that the policies in place have really maintained business as usual, primarily in areas of oil, gas, mining, and you can add now land grabs. There are these sectors that are of interest to U.S. investors. And so the U.S. typically, I mean, it's not only now, it's historic. It's both Democrats and Republicans have looked the other way, signed deals with people, whether it's Mobutu or so many others, long list of leaders that were ruthless in spite of their human rights record, that the U.S. Actually channeled resources, primarily military support, whether it's military sales and hardware, military training. because they were seen as doing the bidding, particularly on behalf of U.S. corporations and U.S. corporate interests. So it's great to, whether in Accra or in Addis, make these great statements. But the statements are really meaningless if they are not followed by changes in U.S. policy. And I think, you know, it's only now one more year of an Obama administration. All of the hope and excitement has long waned in terms of what would come with an Obama administration, a son of Africa being in the highest office of the land here in the U.S. And unfortunately, you know, expectations have been dashed. But we can say one more year, there is still time to hit that reset button. If the U.S. could do it, certainly for Cuba, then why can they not hit the reset button in terms of how they engage with Africa? I think we've got to look at places like Libya and understand that the U.S. has gotten it all wrong for quite a long time, and it has led to disastrous results. And so we've got to in this new year, find ways, opportunities to engage in more productive, more creative, reinforcing the need for human development, human security.
In 20 seconds, Obama has also actually said for those African dictators who say that all people need to care about is service delivery, not freedoms, whatever. He has actually said that even prosperity without freedom is a form of poverty.
Yes. We need all of the freedoms, the four freedoms, including freedom from poverty.
Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of freedom because I'm being told to go. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Ambassador Idi Sempara, former Ugandan envoy to the United States and the African Union, and Emira Woods, associate fellow of the Institute for Policy Studies, a think tank based here in Washington, D.C. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batte. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hope alive. Because without hope, my friend, there is no tomorrow. As we bid farewell 2015, wishing you a happy holidays. And of course, there is a saying, the mightiest power on this planet Earth is hope.
Is hope. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's got no solution.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.